take you back to the 12th of May, 1985. My birthday. It just so happened to be right around Mother's Day. So my birthday often falls around Mother's Day. Lucky me, I get to celebrate my birthday with all the mothers in the world. My dad asked me to write a Mother's Day card, and as he did every year. As I was writing my own mom a Mother's Day card, he asked me to write one for Auntie Baba. And I was like, Dad, why do I gotta write one for Auntie Baba? And she's not my mom, but said, well, son, that she thinks of you as her own son. I don't remember what I wrote, but it was a picture of Garfield, my favorite cartoon character at the time, a fat cat, love lasagna. Not fat, I'm not a cat, but I do love lasagna. I'm sure it's at the house somewhere. My mom kept it. She keeps everything. And I mean everything. Fast forward around 2007, my family and I moved back to Seattle. My oldest son, Seth, is about 2. And we decided to send him to the Seattle Hebrew Academy for preschool. Rabbi Barry mentioned, Auntie Baba had some time on her hands in between her Mahjong World Champions tour and hanging out with Grandma Sally. So she decided to spend that time with Seth at the Hebrew Academy. And when Seth moved on from preschool, it was Levi's turn, our second son. And she was the first one in to volunteer with Levi's class. She even had a little conflict with the other teachers, as they would have them go play out in the rain, often in Seattle, as they do. And she called me at work one day, and she said, Daniel, the teacher's here, they're letting him play in the rain. They can't play in the rain, it's Mikado. She loved the kids and all their buddies, and they all loved her right back. And funny thing is, they even called her Auntie Baba, even people that weren't related to her. My friends even called her Auntie Baba. She exuded the midot and manias and characteristics that we all tried to aspire to. She was so positive, so happy, and always looked at the bright side of things. And she would look at my face when I would tell her a story about whatever it was I did or whatever trip I went on. And she would just hang on every word. And this huge grin of excitement as I was telling her the story. And she couldn't wait to hear what would come next. And she made the person, whoever she was speaking with at the time, feel as if she were speaking to the most important person in the world. Even if it was just a little double story, she would listen to it with such great intent, as if it were the most amazing story. If she felt something wasn't right, she spoke up about it. She let you know about it. I remember asking my dad about what was it like growing up with Auntie Baba and as the big sister in the house. And he said, well, she was the boss. When Dix or Grandma Sally weren't around, she ruled the roost. Especially if Uncle Michael was misbehaving. She was pretty hip for her day, too. She moved down to LA by herself. She loved the tap dance. She also, as I understood, owned a white 63 Chevy Impala convertible. I thought that was pretty cool. Auntie Baba, you will be missed. Thank you.
Said before, approaching the time of Rosh Hashanah. And it's no coincidence that we remember a week prior to this holiday, a time of remembrance. See, the high holidays were always a festive time at my Auntie Baba's house. It was our way of carrying on the tradition of her mother, Grandma Sally, and so many of the women of our great community, and gathering our families together in what was always a memorable time for myself, my siblings, my cousins, and those who would attend. Many people came over throughout the years, as all of them were welcome. It didn't matter if you were related by blood, when you came over, you were family. Nobody was an outsider, or as my mom hates it when I say, nobody was a gen. Everyone was family. Everyone was de casa. She took responsibility to prepare many weeks prior, all of our favorite dishes, each one of them being cooked to perfection. Pollos, orejas, soulache. My Uncle Michael one time tried to change the recipe one time, but it was something. Never again. Ms. Ochoa's so many others that we were all familiar with. It wasn't just the foods that we looked forward to. It was how important she means all of you. And everyone, and I mean everyone, used to feel it on these occasions. If we met someone new or not familiar to our family, she'd be the first one to introduce us to them. I can recall countless times growing up where we'd be at an occasion at called or at the famous yearly El Hada picnic at Lake Sonoma State Park. And she would take me by the hand and say, "Come on, Davigo, I want you to meet someone." Begrudgingly, I would agree to go, and I had no clue who that person was. But I knew that she was doing this because we were all so important to her. She wanted others to know how dear we were to her, even though we may have not appreciated it, and did not appreciate it at the time. I remember one time I was playing basketball at JCC. I must have been 10, 12 years old. And I recall her vividly telling her friends how many points I scored that day. And of course, that hasn't happened since. It's very short, right? I don't recall who it was that she told, but she made it very public, of how proud she was of me, and my brother, my sister, my cousins, and all of us. I remember when my son Joe was born. She happened to fly out to New York for the Gami Law. She felt right at home around my in-laws. That was another one of her unique traits. Not only did she make others feel welcome, but she made herself. She wasn't shy or afraid to express her thoughts or opinions. She always felt comfortable around others. And she did not. She would always find some type of commonality with that person. Would be able to try to show no matter who the person was. Either age, position, color, or men. She did have her opinions, as we know. And when she wanted people to catch us, oh boy, you got it. No doubt. At the same time, she was always the first one to introduce herself. Most of the time, not as Barbara, but as Daniel, as Anne said as well. As it didn't matter who you were, she took such pride in being our aunt. She took such pride in all of our accomplishments. This coming week, we celebrate the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. We refer to it as Day of Remembrance. She was very well known for remembering the past and telling us about the ones that have passed on. In Judaism, one of the more interesting ideas that I've always took interest in was that we don't call the cemetery the house of the dead in Hebrew, but rather the Beit HaChayim, the house of the living. The simple answer is because it's a house of living because they're living eternally now. But I think it's a lot deeper than that. We call it the house of living because the people that leave us leave behind a legacy. And the mannerisms, everything the people like Manti Baba gave us. We can carry that on to our children and to the next generation. I'd like to take this day to remember my Tagalog, her attributes of hospitality, so everything that she did can live within us continuously. Not just to remember, but to pass it on to the next generation.
At this time, I'd like to call upon brothers Joey and Michael.